you repeat yours slowly?
I just said that it all goes so slowly. And Ajahn said, yoga. Because we like it to go faster. Aeons and aeons more to go.
Patience, Bharami.
Yeah, and the Sukh Bharami. The Sukh Bharami.
I see. Oh, we like to know more. Oh, pre-Bharami. We don't know which one.
It sounds like the soup. Sounds like the soup.
I wondered what the soup was.
Now the Thai have supsa. Supsa. You know what? Supsa. Superstar.
And Nina, what was it you wanted to hear more about with regard to the sub-paramis, whether there's any understanding or not?
So, I think that the sub-paramis must be just beginning. Otherwise, there wouldn't be sup under.
It means all kusala can be sub-conditioned.
Sub-conditions, mm-hmm. Pre-conditions.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This understanding.
No, because you see that people who have kusala, not many kusalas in one's life, can be conditioned for and listening and understanding better than those who have akusala.
There, I think you mean not through any development of any understanding at all, but just by natural accumulations, those who generally have more kusala than...
Yeah,
more.
I don't mind for kusala to arise instead of kusala until there's right understanding. No matter what it's called.
Nina, you said it's good to stress the importance of good deeds. Washing away good deeds.
You said that washing away the kilesa.
Yeah, what wash?
The panya.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Little by little.
But some people say, oh, I'm interested in the Dhamma and I like to develop panya. But I don't care so much about morality. It's just anatta and conditions
I
and
like,
accumulations.
What does it mean, I like?
Self,
mm-hmm.
I like.
On our list, they may say, oh, well, because it's only understanding that matters, so never mind whether there's metta or not when I'm writing or speaking to others, because it's just accumulation, so no point in stressing or encouraging metta or good deeds, something like that.
I think that Panya doesn't mind at all what kind of kusala is there. No selection.
Nor what kind of akusala is there?
Kusala.
Yeah,
no matter
kusala.
Is dana with panya
yeah.
or without panya, it
yeah.
doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
What is thinking much about it? What is thinking much about it? Yoga.
Tam, as Anne's not here, you better share the chili story from lunch with the others.
It's a very short sharing then. So at lunchtime, I was tasting the chilies and it feels hot. So I asked Ajahn that whether the chili is the rupa. Because it's experienced, heat is experienced, so does that mean that the heat element is more predominant in that? So Ajahn said yes, but then she asked me whether I just wanted to put a name. And then she went on saying that instead of trying to to put a name into it, it appears, and we always forget to know what it's appearing, and always trying to find out or to think about it, and it's not the way.
What about if one is hit by a bullet? What tattoo? See, try to find it out. What's the use? But actually, at that moment, when you one is hit by anything, no matter it's a bullet or not, whether we don't call it this or that, what about the reality is there?
No bullets now?
No, not. No.
The hardness.
The point is whether it's eating the chili or being hit by the bullet, that if they're trying to find out the details or work it out or give a name, it's like not understanding what is appearing. And what she was saying at lunch, it's not that it's wrong, but it doesn't lead to any understanding. So we think that it's kind of Dharma study, or find out, is this taste more heat element, or what is it? But actually, it's just kind of like trying to work out the story, or like curiosity, but it's not actually understanding of what appears. So it's like in the sutta about one of the worthless questions, if you're hit by a bullet or something, trying to work out who did it and what kind of bullet and this and that.
Can it be heat instead of heart?
Can
it? Yes, it can. No need to say whether it's hardness or it is heat.
Like the story about the arrows, and the pet, you know, the person dies while everyone is discussing about where the arrows came from, but the Dharma is the medicine to heal.
Whether it's hard or hot.
We have to hear this. We kind of help.
By conditions,
yeah.
Is it Aramanathipati?
And we just had the chili and the element. Anything else you wanted to add or ask about that?
Well, it came from a discussion at lunch when someone, it might have been Dham, who started by asking about when we eat a chili, there's a heat element, the element of utu, and Ajahn basically said, well, that's just thinking about it, that's not understanding the reality now, and how the thinking about things and trying to work them out actually takes us away from the present reality. And that the more banya that grows, develops, the less the thinking will run away with various ideas that don't relate to the present reality. Is that accurate?
What about microphone now instead of chili?
Same thing.
The same thing, just keep on thinking.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, which we do all the time. All the time without being aware of or understanding that it takes the mind. It doesn't take the mind. It goes away from the present reality, and follows the thinking rather than paying attention to now, understanding now. But the only way that can change is by listening and considering and with more understanding. Mm-hmm. Nothing to be done to stop it. But I'm supposing that the recognition that the thinking and the trying to work out, that recognizing that that is taking us away from present understanding, is there's some understanding that recognizes that we get taken away by thinking about the noise or working out the paramis or whatever. More to say about that?
When there's understanding, what about the noise?
Of that too.
Yes, but when there is understanding about realities, what about the noise?
Only one moment.
Yes, just a reality. We don't
That's
name
right.
or call it noise at all.
Right.
So we can peacefully understand whatever appears, just that. No need to work it out. What is it?
It's still unpleasant, though, isn't it?
Pleasantness is a reality.
We have all sorts of stories and worry about recording, that the recording will not be so good, and think about that quite a lot.
All the time?
All the time.
This or that?
Yeah.
Arising.
It's actually very rarely that there is anything but thinking about a recording, the dinner, the wind, the sun.
Oh, the steps.
Yeah. Because the sense... The moments of sense consciousness are so few compared to the other moments that jitta's in a process.
And what things?
What things you forget?
Should be washed away, ignorance, and taking it for I think.
Mm-hmm. Washed away by kusala. And understand. Not washed away
it,
by understanding.
Not naming it, but understanding.
Understanding, yeah. Right.
That which can think. That which thinks,
yeah.
Only that. Always it, not me, not I.
It should be it.
It sees.
It sees.
Not me.
It thinks.
It thinks.
It worries.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Already too late, because we keep on forgetting when we are worrying and thinking and it's all going on and on. We forget what you just said, that it is it.
It can be atta as well.
It can be a characteristic.
It can be a characteristic, but we can't mistake.
It is
in this sense, it's different. In this sense, it's different, yeah.
But when you say a characteristic, it means, for instance, different from seeing or hearing.
Right, noise, hardness,
yeah.
Thinking, seeing.
Yeah. All different.
Mm-hmm. What about talking about other subject?
You mean other than Dhamma? Or?
Not Dhamma subject. What about talking about...
The mountains.
Anything. Forgetful? Or not forget that it's just a reality, each moment. So it means that only when one is talking about Dhamma, any subject, by conditions.
Talking about flowers.
Talking about television, talking about demonstration, talking about anything.
Good reminder, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a moment of direct understanding while talking about something else.
But what about the understanding which can be there because of the firm understanding? So the understanding is not firm yet.
Mm.
That's why in the beginning there should be right person, right thinking, and bright hearing.
So when I say there can be direct understanding while talking, that is after banya is developed. It's much firmer and stronger.
But all depends on conditions. Otherwise, you are on the step of selection.
Mm-hmm.
But for the monks,
the animal talk, that was not, the Buddha said that it's not good, they should not.
Mm-hmm. Because monks aim to be arahata.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We had a question on our list about right livelihood of the monks, because we know that for lay people, right livelihood means avoiding of unwholesome speech or deed in the Viruti Chetasikas, avoiding of wrong speech or action in the course of one's work. And for monks, what is right livelihood?
Can monk cook? See, that is right livelihood.
What is right livelihood? I didn't catch it.
How can monk get food?
Oh, yes.
If we're talking about right livelihood of the Eightfold Path.
Exactly the same.
So how does the example...
It's a chetasika.
Just a chetasika, just the avoiding of what is inappropriate for the monks.
Its function.
Right. Or for us, for lay people.
Yeah. Yeah. The sealer of the bhikkhu.
Avoiding. Yeah.
And what if the monk get someone cook for him?
It doesn't matter as long as he doesn't cook himself. But actually, monk shouldn't ask for anything except that which is allowed in Vinaya.
What is allowed?
Medicine.
And the other day, Tom gave the example of in some countries, some monks may not have any idea. They may never have read the Vinaya properly, so they may not know about all these rules. And so we were discussing about the harm done by not following the rules, not following the Vinaya and leading to hell. And she mentioned those who just don't know. But then I think you would say that if they don't know and they don't follow the rules in the first place, they're not really monks. So the harm or the penalty is not so strong because they don't know.
But they act like a monk.
So it's still kind of cheating or lying, so it's still damaging, even though they're ignorant, but actually because they're still pretending.
That is the monk's business. What about the lay people's business?
You mean with regard to the monks? Well, mm-hmm. The lay people's business is to... not do anything that is inappropriate, such as giving money to the monks or offering food at the wrong time or giving them the food so that they will cook the meal themselves, mm-hmm. or anything that will encourage them in a bad vinaya or being alone as a woman being alone with a monk. So the lay person's responsibility is to support monks to follow the Vinaya, so we have some responsibility too, but actually the not following the Vinaya is the monk's responsibility.
But to give the example of monks in foreign countries who don't know anything, have a lot of ignorance.
And what about monks in Thailand?
Yeah,
but exactly the same no matter where.
Yeah. But long time ago you explained to me when you didn't hear about the Buddhist teachings, and there's akusala, you have no idea, you don't know. It's worse because the ignorance is
stronger. That's why we should study and have right understanding of Vinaya and of the teachings too.
Yeah.
Today many monks also, they make use of the internet to spread the Dharma. So, I don't know.
Do they know Dharma? Well, do they know Vinaya? Just wanting to spread. What about its monks' duty to study and develop understanding and leave the all of these to lay people to do instead of doing himself? I don't know about computer and website or anything, but so many people can do that. Not necessary for me to do at all.
Well, I think it's not an easy area because some monks like Nina may have accumulations and chanda for writing more than speaking, and obviously by using internet one can discuss the Dharma and have influence with far more people than without. But I think there are many difficulties. First of all, like you talked the other day about, if the computer is given to the monk, because a monk shouldn't have personal belongings like a computer, so it should be something only that belongs to the temple. And so I can see there are many difficulties.
Even tape, Dhamma tape, record, or many things, radio.
Well, I think a blind eye is turned a lot of times for monks in the name of spreading the Dhamma, because even before the internet days, when monks went overseas to establish temples in other countries or centres, it seemed to me that they weren't able to follow proper Vinaya there because they're going into foreign communities and there's no support and no patimokkha and that sort of thing. So I think it's not just the internet situation, of course. As Ajahn said, the monks basically don't have any possessions other than their set of robes and water strainer and needle and thread and razor. I think there's about 7 items. So that's
or eight atta barikan.
So everything we see nowadays is not really in accordance with the Vinaya properly.
So when we pay respect to the Sangha, we're paying respect to
the Aryan Sangha.
Right. The Aryan Sangha, and it's sometimes I find difficult when I think of what some monks do today, especially if I've just seen somebody, a monk, buying something.
At such moment, do you pay respect?
Right, no. Then. Mm-hmm. No, I find dosa arises, which is not understanding either. But no, that's why I think it's so important to know that it's the Aryan Sangha.
And it depends on citta at that very moment, because if you don't pay respect, what motivates such manners?
If I don't pay respect, I say dosa is what arises.
It depends on citta.
Yes.
When it is kusala, you have metta to that person, that by not paying respect, he might realize that he is doing something which is not monk's duty.
Mm-hmm.
It depends.
Yeah. These are all signs that the Dhamma is the understanding of the Dhamma generally is weakening.
Understanding citta at that very moment too, whether it's with dosa or whether it's metta.
Mm-hmm. F- from the little I can see, and it's only a little, I find that it appears that there are fewer people who are giving dana to the monks in the mornings, and that it'll be very difficult for the Sangha to continue for a long time.
Sangha?
Sorry, the monks. The monks. I don't
monk?
Know.
Or just wearing the robe?
Well, okay, wearing the robe. Anyway, I can notice a difference in the 40 years it's been since I first saw. Now, these are all outward signs, giving, you know, giving alms in the morning and that kind of thing.
But is it a must, or what is it?
No, I don't think it's a must.
So what is that?
It's motivated by
tradition.
Tradition, sometimes by probably wanting to do kusala deeds.
Is that kusala deeds, giving to the monk?
If the monk is a true monk,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Depends on that,
I don't know. I don't know. I guess it doesn't, because the almsgiver does not know if the monk is a true monk.
It's giving anyway.
It's giving, and for what, I mean, it could be giving for self, or giving for the world to see, or giving for Dhamma. Dhamma, but only the giver would know.
So, Kun Alberto, Atta Tipatai, or Loka Tipatai, or Dhamma Tipatai?
So the reverence, when you talk about reverence as being one of the 10 kusala deeds, so it actually it's reverence for wholesome qualities, isn't it, in the ultimate sense?
Citta at that moment only.
Yeah. But the object of reverence.
What about citta to that object?
It must be kusala. Like appreciating kusala and having, I don't know, like gratitude towards what is kusala. Or something like appreciation, I would say, appreciation for the kusala, because when one knows the value of kusala.
It depends on kusala citta at that very moment. And now?
Like, for example, even though we know that many of the monks today, they are not real monks, but when we meet them, their robe can remind the noble quality of the Buddha and how he taught the way to enlightenment. So it can inspire reverence at that moment also.
Depending on citta again. In Vietnam, what do they do for funeral?
Usually they, most of the people, they just follow the tradition. And now,
so it is Loka Tipatai? When we talk about Atta Tipatai, Loka Tipatai, and Dhamma Tipatai, we can see and find out. Yeah. Just follow the tradition.
Even many funerals don't have a monk's presence.
What do you do for those for the dead people?
For the dead people, if the person is not a Buddhist, because there are many people who are not Buddhist in Vietnam, they have some ceremonies. And
like what?
Like putting food on the altar and then make some prayers, because they believe that the dead person now exists in another plane. And they need food and they need our thought to them. So there are many, many days that are like where we have to observe some rituals like that. So
giving food to the dead.
Giving food to the dead, yeah.
And pray or chant?
So the Buddhist people.
Only Buddhist people. And for those who are not Buddhist?
For those who are not Buddhist, they just do prayers, but it's not in the Buddhist... Because even the Buddhist way, it's not the Buddhist way. Mm-hmm. But those who are not Buddhist, they just like praying for the dead. May you receive the food mm-hmm. that we are offering you and something like that. And may you have a peaceful rest in the other world. Something like that.
No monks concerned because they are not Buddhist.
Yes, yes. And among the Buddhists, there also the most of them follow Mahayana. So the ceremonies is different. For the people who follow Theravada, the monks are invited over for the food offering, and then they chant blessings to the families. So some people, they understand that if they make dana, that they can have some merits to inspire the person, the dead person, to rejoice in the kusala. But I think it's a very, very limited people who can have that understanding. Most of the people, they just think that things should be followed.
Ajahn, when we talk about death, does anything die?
Yes, each moment.
Each moment.
If die, to die means not coming back at all.
But that's all that dies.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else.
So there are three kinds of death or dying. Kanika means momentary. And sammuti, like the body has to be taken away. And Samuccheta, the final one, the last one, is the death of Arahata, the last citta. Kanika, morana. Sammuti, morana. And
Pariccheda.
Samuccheta.
The second one means conventional death.
Yeah, which is the one we usually we think about.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of Dhamma, just a moment.
Truth.
Just a moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So nothing to be afraid of, like the arising and falling away of each moment now.
Because in the ultimate sense, there's only momentary death, like Kanika Marana, like at this moment. And that's why Jan stresses, like now we're listening to Dharma, that can be death, end of this life at any moment at all, just moments of seeing and then moments of thinking, any time at all, so no different from now. And I was going to ask Tom if you wanted to ask any more about bats and the frogs. And bats and the frogs and,
because where are they now?
Because one may be listening to the Buddha or having Dhamma discussion or eating food or anything, and who knows about the next rebirth, because someone may think, it's such a good rebirth because one's listening to Dhamma, but who knows about those very last kusala or akusala cheetahs, even like now, who can say whether it's kusala or akusala at each moment, and who knows about past karma, so what may condition first moment of next life, no matter the circumstances. Anything you'd like to add?
And where are those people in Tipitaka now? Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Right, so the examples were given that Tam was just asking about in Gangrajana, about we read stories about how some bats or frogs were listening to the Buddha and then after death were reborn in a deva realm. And who knows from there what happens next? Because it all depends on past karma. Who knows what past karma will bring, what result in what realm at any time. But people may think, oh, well, as long as one is in the company of the Buddha or having Dharma discussion or surrounded by monks just before death, then that means there will be a rebirth in a heavenly realm or something like this, but we have no idea. It just depends on past karma, because the last cheetahs of life are so very, very brief, and it just depends on the object or the sign at that very, those very last moments.
There were so many monkeys in Savatthi, and they seemed to listen, but we don't know, of course.
Another thing to think about. Ajahn, we can't seem to hear enough about the importance of now and understanding now. And because there's so little understanding.
Like any time.
Well, we can't direct our attention now, because we can't control it. And yet sometimes there's this overwhelming urge to try to do something, to focus on now.
Until Panya is there.
So can you talk a bit more about the hearing and the considering and
to understand what is now appearing as not self, as different reality, one at a time, appearing and falling away? And what is the use of just experiencing it and then attached to it, and then that object is completely gone forever? So what is the object of attachment after seeing? Thinking, just thinking that it's still there.
Okay. When it's really only the nimitta, a visible object, but it's not even that. It's thinking about shape and form and then the concept that
with
Sanya
attachment,
puts into it.
Ignorance, yeah. So this is the world of ignorance and attachment. A kusala, more than kusala. Are we dreaming now? Mm-hmm. Once upon a time.
All the time upon a time.
Mm-hmm.
You often say that.
I hear you often say this, once upon a time, and
yes.
I missed it because maybe you explained it already at another occasion.
After once upon a time, then what?
It is a past, once upon a time. Something
yes,
is past.
right now, all the time.
Yeah.
Are you referring, Ajahn, to a story?
Yes.
That's how we begin stories.
Mm-hmm.
For little children, yeah. Once upon a time. ourselves all the time.
Even now, it's just once upon a time.
I think it's like because we know that not only when we're asleep, but even now, there are always dreaming and running stories about, oh, how will I manage the steps when it gets dark, or what are the workmen doing over there? There are always little stories running, so it's just like once upon a time. It's just like the beginning of a story and continuing the story again and again. So it's just, Ajahn uses this once upon a time just to point out how it's always this little story running through.
Oui. Another story.
It's our story. Yeah. Our story. When you go back home, you can tell story about here.
So what about whatever happens?
Yes, anywhere, anytime.
Yeah. Nina, you said you would like to hear Ajahn saying, you were saying, this is Satipatthana, this.
Because in the foundation it was mentioned about the Satipatthana Sutta, that the Buddha said, this and knee, bend knee,
yes.
Pointing to the present moment.
Mm-hmm. A reality.
A reality, yeah. Because people sometimes doubt, right, that they don't see that the Buddha spoke about the present moment and emphasized the present moment, but here we have a good example.
Is this not present?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Another story. Our story.
Stories. We couldn't live without them, though.
Time to break.
Yeah, it goes down very fast. Yeah.
Okay. Another story.
It seems like I am delegated to ask you to tell us more about Nama and Rupa.
The word or the reality?
The realities, of course.
Seeing is now. What is that?
A reality.
Which sees a reality, which can see.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. No matter you call it Nama or not, that which can experience, that which can see, think, hear, mm-hmm. feel, remember. While the reality which cannot experience anything at all, and that which is different from, that which cannot experience, or Anama.
In particular on Nama and Rupa you wish to hear about?
I think we can never hear enough about it, and also think so, that we can never hear enough about Nama and Rupa.
So you would like to hear more about Nama, 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 Nama? Oh, now what sees is there. No matter we call it what, it's there, it sees, it thinks.
And
even it does not appear as someone or something, but it's that which think, it's that which see. At moment of hearing, no need to think about Nama. But that which hears, like now.
It's very, very confusing, because it's sound and there's hearing, and all mixed up. But you will say, of course, because there is not attainment of the first vipassana jnana yet. So understandable that it's confusing.
But can there be the understanding of the shadow, even it's not clear, that the sound is not that which hear it? Sound is sound.
Yeah. It's so mixed in
this hearing, one big mass. Very confused.
If you can hear hearing like sound, you think that you have no doubt about it. But since that cannot be heard, but it hears. Sound is different for sure, different sounds. But who knows that? They're different if there is no hearing. So it's the hearing itself which experiences sound one at a time. So hearing can see that it's not the same. Right understanding can understand that it's not I. Usually I see, I hear, instead of the idea of I, it's that which sees or hears. Otherwise, is there no hearing? Is there no seeing?
Yes.
So that is nama. That yes is nama.
Yes. Ajahn, it seems that, Nina just mentioned that it's very difficult to know the difference between the hearing which hears and the sound which is heard, but at the beginning it's that just to understand that it's just a reality and just no one, and at the beginning it's that much that we can really understand.
Is there you now?
When I think about it, yes.
No. Is there you now? You don't have to think. What is there? You take it for I. Even you don't speak out. Mm-hmm. Here I am. See? But even that is not known. So how can hearing be known? So it has to be right understanding from the very beginning to know that what is real is a reality. Because it's real. We cannot say that it's not real. So that which is real is just a reality. No one there. Because beyond one's control or anyone's control at all, like seeing arises already. It sees and then it falls away. Just learn to understand the way Dhamma is. Instead of trying to find out that I cannot understand that which sees and that which hears at all. Beginning from hearing, considering that there are realities for sure, even we don't name it at all. There's seeing, no matter you call it seeing in English or hen in Thai or any word, but that is real because it sees. And that which hears is real too, because it hears. And that which thinks is real, because it thinks. In order to begin to understand that there are different realities, they are all realities, but they are different by their characteristic. One cannot experience anything at all, but still there is another reality, which is quite different from that which cannot experience, because it doesn't have anything to be experienced like hardness of sound. Its characteristic is just experience. Whenever it arises, it experiences. That's all. Just begin to develop understanding from hearing and considering. Because there are moments of seeing, moments of hearing in life that can be known. If this one is not known, then the other might be known when Panya develops. But it's not the matter, I can't experience that because just hearing that there is that which can experience is not enough to have right understanding of its characteristic, which appears as no one there at all. That's why doubt can be completely, absolutely eradicated only by sotapattimagga-citta. And doubt is also latent tendency too. It's very difficult to dig it up, to eradicate it, because it's anusaya, see? Very decisive support. To doubt, see? Doubt is also conditioned by ignorance. And actually, doubt is a reality that can be known as doubt. Everything in life has to be known. Otherwise, it cannot eradicate the attachment to the idea of self at all, as long as doubt is there. So is it common not understanding nama? And it's yoga too, just wanting without considering that it's only intellectual understanding level. And it's not just seeing and hearing which are not unknown, even touching. See? Is there doubt about touching? Or only seeing and hearing? All namas. Anger is real. Seeing is real. No difference at all. You might think that you know anger rather than seeing, but actually it's not the understanding of that which experiences.
So if it's my anger, it's not awareness of the reality of anger as a nama which experiences.
And anger falls away when there is the idea, my anger.
If it's this anger of mine, it's still the same thing, isn't it? It's my anger.
I can do. So what can you do?
Think.
Open your eyes. Can you do that?
You think you can.
So it's quite very, very big subject, talking about words like breath and the samatha bhavana or vipassana bhavana or all the bodhipakkhiya dhamma without understanding what appears now. Even just simple words like nama or rupa. But it means a lot. It's not just the word. Is there the trees and flowers in darkness? Is there a tree in darkness? A flower, a table? Or many things in darkness.
All the thinking about them. In darkness for mm-hmm. sure, because yeah. only when it's yeah. visible object is it light. So mm-hmm. all the ideas we have now about trees and people mm-hmm. and a jhana, it's all in darkness.
It's there in memory. You can think of anything in Australia or Italy in memory. In darkness, at the moment of thinking, it's there. So light is not tree, not flower, not anything. It's just, it's that which can be seen only. But everything is building up after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. It's so permanent and long story about everything, about yesterday, about lunch, about everything. So only understanding our reality right now is the beginning of understanding reality as a self, as not anything.
Reality right now often is thinking about a dog who is barking.
Yes, but without sound there is no idea about dog barking.
Yes, but the reality.
So the moment of seeing, hearing brings a lot of story.
Yes, but the thinking of the story is the reality at this moment.
After seeing,
yes.
After hearing.
Yes.
Or without hearing and seeing there can be thinking. About anything, everything, all the time. Like where's Kun Mev, see? The idea of someone is there, building up the idea of where is she. And keep on further story about what I have to do with her or talk to her, something like that. See? Non-stop. And is it worth to cling to that which is completely gone each moment?
John, a minute ago you were emphasizing that the thinking follows the seeing and the hearing, but even if there's no seeing and hearing, there's still an awful lot of thinking. In fact, it must be just as much thinking.
From previous seeing.
You're right, right. So Nina's comment that it's the thinking is the reality that appears.
Thinking things at that very moment.
Right.
So its characteristics can be known of thinking.
Because it's real.
Yeah, it's real, yeah.
For a moment, just for a moment.
Yes.
After it's gone, is it still real?
No, no more.
Mm-hmm. We generally don't know it as thinking, anama, no self.
Mm-hmm. Ignorance cannot know that.
Right, and it's what we're accustomed to all day long. So we can know it's thinking, and maybe it's easier intellectually to know there's thinking than it is to know there's seeing. But it's I who thinks until we can directly experience thinking as a reality that thinks.
So by now you begin to think about another reality which can know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what is that?
Panya.
And?
Sati.
Right.
What is the last?
Panya and Sati.
Oh, yes, yes.
John, it seems that we have talked about Sati more this time than we have in the past few years I've been here, when we've talked mostly about Panya. And some of my recollections of many years ago where we talked about Sati quite often. It was your emphasis on banya more, because without the understanding, sati cannot know.
Even there is sati, but when there is no banya, no understanding about sati.
Yes.
Like now, even there is seeing, but no understanding of seeing.
Mm-hmm.
No banya, no right understanding of it.
Right.
So Buddha just thought about everything which is there. Like everything now. Everything a moment before. And a moment to be.
Right? You refer to it as the all.
Because he's the first one who has become enlightened the truth of reality. So he thought about anything, everything in life, any moment, to be known as different realities. And that's the meaning of Dhamma, see, Paramada Dhamma, the absolute Dhamma.
And that when it's not, if it's not the direct understanding of thinking, it's just thinking, just nama, just that dhamma, which experiences at that moment, then I is there. But this is why we talk a lot about the development of panya and why it has to begin with intellectual understanding, right? Intellectual understanding. So like now, there may not be direct understanding of thinking now, but there's the beginning to be familiar with the characteristic of thinking, the characteristic of nama, just that which experiences. And this is the beginning of the development of panya, which leads to the direct understanding of the reality. So it's not like either there's the direct understanding of the reality or it's wrong understanding, because it develops from the beginning.
Yes, I see that. But the beginning of the understanding is purely intellectual understanding, which is necessary for the beginning of the development of banya.
Listen and consider and just become more familiar with these realities, these characteristics, in order to see that there really is no self involved at all. They're just moments of seeing which sees that which is seen and thinking which thinks about it. And so by becoming more familiar with these different realities, those which experience an object and those that don't experience anything, this is the way panya can develop.
John, it seems that thinking can take us away from the present moment, but really isn't it attachment and wrong view and these
Ignorance
that take us away from the present moment.
So the teachings of Buddha is going to bring us back to this moment.
And this is why we need to hear the reminders so regularly and frequently.
Mm-hmm. So he taught about different jitas at this moment. To be known as no self is there. At all.
Or even just to be known as having a characteristic. As
not self.
As not self. Thinking has to be known as thinking before it can be known as not self, I think.
A reality, mm-hmm.
Right.
thinking is real, but the object of thinking is not real. After thinking for hours or a long time, then you realize, you know, it's just thinking. Beginning to know that it's only thinking. And begins to understand the moment of thinking as not seeing, hearing. Always long moments of thinking like mountain, see? And not just that, tree, see? And trees and tables, not only one.
I see these trees. That reminds me of their restaurant at Gangajam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, even no Gangajam tree at all. In darkness. But, remember we, everything.
We don't like thinking because it thinks of what is not real. We would rather not have it.
So
we
yeah. Like, dislike.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Until like is not me, dislike is not me. It doesn't matter at all. It's gone. Only Panya can let go the idea of self and clinging. So what is left now?
Nothing.
Clinging continues.
Yes.
Do you mind?
I mind.
Until
Panya is more developed.
Mm-hmm. Always mind about attachment and disattachment.
Yeah.
It indicates that there is no self at all because there is always minding about attachment, not attachment. So nothing can stop the continuation of realities except the perfect understanding of Arahata.
Alberto, whether you mind, that they're thinking or any reality like anger, whether you mind, take it to heart or...
Not now.
Not now.
Really? It doesn't show up.
I was thinking about Sada, and I was reading the Rupa Sutta, talks about a visible object and says that it is anicca, and when this is known, then it's sada anusari.
Anusya means kilesa, no, defilements.
Anusari.
Anusari, satanusari, so on. It different aspects of realization of the Four Noble Truth.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Satanusari, yeah. Dhammanusari. Yeah. Yeah. Do you mind? Or anywhere, yeah, anyone, it's all right.
So what does kind of sari mean?
The way one attain enlightenment differently.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah. Right. Right, yeah. Whether
with sadda
is predominant or...
Dhamma follower, faith follower.
I think to answer Nina's question and Nachan's question, I think at the moment when there's some understanding, so no minding, but when there's forgetfulness, then minding, because then it becomes my anger or wanting to have this and not having. But only
talking about kusla and akusla, do you mind?
Talking about it, I don't care.
Whether it's kusla or akusla.
I do mind.
Always mind. As long as there is you. Yeah. But Panya doesn't mind at all.
Kusala, right?
Mm-hmm. It can be vipaka, it can be kriya.
Kusala doesn't mind if it's kusala with panya, doesn't mind if it's.
Because just
kusala
very short.
Yes.
Even kusala without
panya doesn't mind. Only akusala minds. At moment of dana, even without panya, or moment of metta, no panya, no minding at those moments. Moment of seeing, no minding. Moment of hearing, no minding. So it's only at moments of, thinking with attachment or aversion, there's minding.
Did you just say banya can be vipaka?
Yeah, why not?
Well, banya would arise with kusala citta.
And vipaka.
And vipaka.
And kriya.
Well. And kriya.
Not with akusala.
I know not with akusala. Okay, Bhavangavi. Okay. Patisanti. Okay, I see. Patisanti and Bhavanga. Thank you.
Sati with all sobana cheetahs. Kusala, vipaka, kriya.
Does Lobha mind about kusala and akusala?
Certainly. And dosa? Does it mind? Does dosa mind?
It objects strongly to other dosa.
It's dosa that minds. Lobha doesn't mind, does he?
Lobha does mind.
Doesn't.
Does. Yeah. Oh, I have lots of akusla. It minds about akusla.
Is this Lobha or dosa?
Yes, me, I.
And dosa. Dosa you take also for self.
Who minds?
Dosa.
I minds. The I. If there is no I, if there's no I, can they be minding about it?
So also ditti minds about.
Attachment. Otherwise there wouldn't be wrong practice. What minding to come here? What minds? Or?
Come on, guys.
When Ispanya is different, just for the sake of understanding, not for me. Not hoping, wishing to gain more knowledge, but to understand better, to have less attachment. If it mind, what's the object of its minding? It has to be lobha, yeah. Dosa is not me. Attachment is not me. Panya doesn't mind.
All kilesa mind.
Attached to. To know, attached.
Disappointed when it's not the way it would like.
What about moment of I don't mind? Is it minding at that moment? The I is there. I don't mind. Not Panya, which knows.
I don't mind. That would be attachment.
I there.
Shall we have a little summary from the architects about the discussion in the break about architecture in different realms?
Some of the devas, some deva planes do not need architects because the karma produces their residences. But Ajahn, I cannot remember which deva plane.
All
deva planes.
Yeah, yeah, heaven plane.
And in the text, I remember reading very fantastic descriptions of them, but I cannot remember the detail of those descriptions, except they seem to be full of gems and precious materials.
Yes, by karma, no selection.
They cannot choose which house they live in.
No jewelry shop.
No shopping.
Maybe that's why I wasn't born into the deva plane, because I want to be an architect. Is that right?
Maybe you dislike your residence in heaven.
It'll have to wait.
Yeah.
This conversation started because this morning we were talking about rupas of the body conditioned by karma, and Pina reminded me at lunchtime about how not all rupas of the body conditioned by karma, kamaja rupas, are actually directly conditioned by karma. Some are like secondary rupas conditioned by nutriment, which has been conditioned by karma. And this example of, by temperature conditioned by karma, and this example of the celestial realms, the abodes or the celestial chariots is an example of these secondary rupas conditioned by temperature, which has been conditioned by karma. So they're referred to in the text as kamaja rupas, conditioned by karma, but it's actually karma has conditioned temperature, which has conditioned these rupas. And we mentioned that, for example, another example of this would be like the dead body at the end of life. We see the corpse, and the rupas of that corpse are no longer produced by karma. Karma has stopped producing rupas just before the end of life. But the temperature conditioned by karma still produces those rupas.
So even rupas such as eye sense and ear sense and body senses are still produced after the death, but then by by temperature, if you mention?
Only eight rupas. Only eight rupas. Inseparable rupas. Only.
Yeah.
But then it's not necessarily producing. Because as you mentioned that is it previously produced by karma, and then after that is produced by utu. So
indriya, not the prasada rupa. Only the body rupas that are not indriya.
Only
and are they
inseparable rupas.
But then are they produced by karma previously?
They're produced by either heat or nutriment that was previously produced by karma.
Karma produces 10 rupas, mm-hmm. Including utu. So that utu, after death, will produce, utu will produce 8 rupas. Mm-hmm.
The dead does not care.
Doesn't mind.
But no sense doors, no gamma producing sense doors, because after death, no seeing, no hearing, no touching, no tasting, no smelling.
I just asked the question because it was explained that it was previously produced by karma, and then after that, so because I was thinking that, like, what are the rupas which are produced by karma, and I was thinking about those. So now I'm given another example, so but I haven't understood it yet.
I'm also a little unclear, like Tam. So, for example, we read that karma stops producing rupas so many moments before death, and after death, the rupas that we take for this corpse are just produced by temperature, just the groups of the eight inseparables. There's no more jivitindriya, no more karma-produced rupas, but these groups, we understand, and what Pilar said is that the temperature that produces them was produced by karma before. Could you say anything?
Yes,
more
because
it?
The kalapa, which has the utu produced by karma, keeps on producing other groups.
Other examples, like when we about the celestial abodes, these are still called kamaja rupas, but
from utu conditioned by karma.
Uta. So it's the same, exactly the same in the case of the corpse. So they actually they're referred to as kamaja rupas, even though just conditioned by utu.
But it cannot be like the Deva's abode, because it's produced by karma, which has intention to have such and such
at that time. Yeah. But mm-hmm. in this case, so in the case of the celestial abode, they are referred to as kamaja rupas. In the case of the corpse, because no karma at work at all, it's just that it has continues to condition
Such rupas,
that's all. Mm-hmm. So are they still referred to as kamaja rupas?
No need.
So this utu, which is produced by karma,
like the Buddha's relics.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, like, the utu, which is produced by karma, it's happening throughout one's life also?
In not that kalapa produced by utu, by karma.
Mm-hmm.
Utu there, in that kalapa produced by karma is there, which can continue producing other group, other kalapa.
Okay. So there are other groups of rupa not arising with the pasada rupas, which can be produced by karma as well.
That's right. With what?
The pasada rupas.
Pasada rupa. After death.
But before.
Before dying, consciousness arises. 17 moments before death, mm-hmm. No kamacharupa produced. So the citta cetasika and kamacharupa all gone together at moment of death. No more. But the uttu in the kalapa, which is produced by kama, can produce another kalapa. Like anywhere.
And before death, not just the sense spaces like the pasada rupas, but, you know, masculinity, femininity, many other kamaja, many other groups.